$10,000 horses running up here, these horses are running down here, they're running all over the place. Only in two instances did he have one that was even close to par for class level. And he did this a lot, and we had another fellow doing it back east, and Bob Cochran did it in Chicago. Horses just don't run par. Where's Purdy?
Here.
Purdy will tell you, horses run against each other and not against par. The makeup of the race, the matchup, pace velocity is reflecting the matchup is what creates the times, not some mythical par level. We did find, however, that there were three levels that were generally sufficient to cover stakes for the lowest claimer on the ground. In our case, it would be 10,000. In those three categories, we labeled, not with any fancy terms, just high, low, and average. About the average, this is the average of what you come up with from your own. The average is in the middle, the high here, and generally the horses conformed in that area by class. So instead of 12 levels or 16 levels, some of the experts would have you believe exist, we've got it down to three levels. So the class is either low, high, or average. Because that's the way horses truly run. They run at three different decipherable levels. And any time you truly believe in your heart that they run to pars, specific pars, you need to examine the thinking that brought you to that conclusion, because it would be far deviant from any conclusion we have reached with the widest range of researchers, none of whom have an extragraph.
Doc, if you kept these on a daily basis, then wouldn't it constantly be shifting until they hit their highest high and their lowest low or not?
Well, generally speaking, I don't know, you did the research on it too. Generally speaking, we find that once you've established a couple of weeks of racing, that on a dry, fast track, high stays within 0.08, the other's within 0.12.
You're not going to be absolute here. If you say 70 is the cutoff and you get a horse at 70.02, I don't think that's going down. I mean, he's only a little bit off. Let's not be too rigid here.
I religiously threw him out. Because the main reason is that there was no 69.99. If there had been a 69.99, I would allow that tolerance, definitely. But there was a 69.89. What did you have on this Belmont? What was the highest?
I mean, we need to establish. You established your cushion there when you established your high. Your high really is like 69.90.
That's right. 69.97 was the highest. That's all. No, that's only 60. That's it. 69. There's nothing else even near 69.97. What it does, if I say 70, you see a number in the sixes, you don't worry. When you see one of the sevens, it goes bells go off. Even so, when you make this track profile, you find it's the most valuable tool you have for everything. Everything. Throwing out horses, leading in horses. So what you do is each week, you can try to pick one a day, make a whole lot of them, and then each week compile the average. If it didn't rain that week, if you didn't have some deviations in time caused by weather or something. As long as it's running pretty much the same kind of weather, you can keep a running average over here. When it rains someday and you have a whole different, have a separate page for that and put it in there, and the next time it rains like that, you put it in, you accumulate the track profile for inclement weather. And you'll have a dry, if you go to Santa Anita, you want to make a lot of money, keep one. So the 3 days after the rain, when the track's drying out, that's where you make your money. It's going to be deviant for sustained winds in Santa Anita, big bucks. Now, for those of you who think that percentage of medium, high, low, and average means the highest percent median, lowest of the average, that is not correct. High, low, and average means the percent median that corresponds to the high, low, and average in total. Which will be a reverse, because your lowest total energy will produce your highest percent median. So you can further discriminate here. You can say at the Phillies and Mares, 3-year-olds, my cutoff is 70.24 or something in Santa Anita. I would suspect there would be winners over 70 there. But at claiming, middle class claiming from 20 on up to non-winners of one, it's 69.68, and in the higher class allowances, non-winners of 2 and 3, and in the stakes race, it's 68.90. So you have 3 levels of distinction. Believe me, if you keep one of these and do some of the other exercises in this book, I think this is probably the most valuable book if you use the tools in it that we've ever produced, other than the matchup.
Doc, do you end up getting for your own parameters then for each category? How low in the average? They kind of sort themselves out in the 3 years, would you say?
They'll sort themselves out the first week. What happened last week is far more important than what happened for the entirety of last year. Santa Anita is an oak tree, is your best bet for making money, folks. Don't miss a day of it.
When you talk about high-low meeting, it's fine-tuning now, right?
No, it's not very good fine-tuning. Let me give you an example. This is important that everybody get this. Some people, they got these charts and they pretended they understood just what we were trying to say, and they didn't, and it cost them. You're going to have a day. You do it by distance, of course. Conservative. You're going to have a day with four, let's say they're 4 to 6 furlong ratio. Corresponds to the high. The low is 70.02 and the average is 69.20. That's the way your chart will look. So now you've done this and you've done it for a week, and these figures stand up for a week. First race of the following Wednesday comes along. You take and use your variant program. You merely take the, which will have your percent median in. You take the first race and you look at who's the horse to beat in this race. Who does everybody like? Or who do I like? You know, it depends on how sophisticated you are. If you want to take sweeps of consensus, the horse pretty much figures to be the favorite. What's its total energy? Okay, if it's 56.10, it's closer to here, so it's a low class race. Period. If it's 57.808, it's closer to high, so it's a high class race. It doesn't matter what the claiming price is or the purse is. That's what the class of the race is. Forget that this one's running 16 and he's going up to 20 today. It doesn't mean a darn thing. Of course, you corroborate that with your APG. Now, if it's a low class race, and you've got a couple of exceptionally high APV horses in it, you just know darn well that they are going to figure on your final payoffs. If it's a high-class race and you have particularly low APVs, you can throw them out because they'll not make it. Also, if it's a high-class race, everyone should have pretty high APV, so APV will not be as important in that race because they'll all be clustering toward a higher level. If it's an average, then you take horses that are from the low and discount them a little bit and take horses that are higher and credit them a little bit. Most of your races will fall into the category of average. That's where you're going to find the cluster. But as an elimination process and knowing what's happening, you can credit. Now this is always this way. This is always flat. This makes the whole chart. much, much more completely wild. Any questions on this?
No. I got a question about DPB versus. I just want to hear your thoughts on why is it that a high-pass horse be running terrible in races over his head, drop down to a lower pass, and just come on chambers?
That's why we do it. In the Weiss manual, we discuss it with the great length. We say, hey, the horse has relatively little pace. Nothing to recommend it on pace. You can't find a line that's any good. He's 24% over. You better put, if it's an exact race, put him in. He's most likely to come in second. Unfortunately, what happens is some of the times they just outwin. And you have nothing to justify except a superior APD because he's been running with higher class horses, not doing necessarily well. He's coming in third and fourth and second, accumulating money and earnings. Now they put him down where he's, well, you know, some guy, a tall man like this fellow walks up to you and you want to get a pipe with him, you say, wait a minute, you're a little big for me. But some little guy comes up to you and he's tough.
So it's recognition among the horses?
They recognize it, holy.
They know what they're up against.
They have the same reaction human beings. Why do you think that maidens win mostly on the lead? One of them suddenly decides to break away from being a part of the cluster, part of the group, says, hell, you guys, I'm going to take off. And the rest of them, I don't want to chase him. And jockeys can whip the heck out of him and won't do it. That's why we don't recommend betting on maidens with a method, although there are many ways to win with maiden racing. Because when one breaks loose, the whole.
I noticed in one of the books, Queer and Something, that he says that he knows personally a New York vet swears that one horse can communicate with another is just a flag of the ears, like, get out of my way, buddy.
Bonnie Ledbetter says much the same thing and has a lot to say about horses that were raised by a head mare, head of a pack, as opposed to that. I don't go in much for the body language because I don't think you can learn it from the book, but what she says about horse behavior is apparently quite accurate.
You can talk to horses, and horses will communicate back to you.
Horses definitely do have a pecking order.
It's called alpha males. They have it. Every animal has it. Dogs have it. You put three dogs together, one dog's going to be the lead dog. They smell that adrenaline. It's an alpha male, mean, and he's going to be a good pet, but you're never going to control him.
All right. Okay, getting back to this now, you said you got 4-6 furlong races.
This is one day. That's all I had.
Right. So 57.1. 55.9, 56.10, and 56.40, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the high is the 57.20.
Right.
The low is what?
55.9.
Okay. So then you add that. Yeah.
See, we have a thing called hard generator plus. Computer program average.
Okay, but if you were to do it manually, you would just add the high and the low.
Add them all
and divide by 4.
Yep. Don't use the high and the low. It comes out very close. It's really the average. And then as the average runs on for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 days, that deviation of averaging them all, it becomes greater than it is when you just do it on one day.
So if I had been keeping the 6 furlong races for the past week at Pomona, I would add them all and divide by the total number of races. To get the
your high and your low are easy.
Right. But the average then would be to the right. Right? 68.40.
No. This is meat percent median. Here's the numbers here, 57.20, 55.90. I just made up 56.
Mm-hmm.
High median.
So how do you get the high median?
That is the median that corresponds to this horse.
What?
Not the highest median energy.
Well, how do you get the high median?
It's on your computer.
It's on your too.
No, it's on your, it will be on all. You're working on your grading program?
Well, okay.
It'll be on that.
Okay. The bearing program.
Mm-hmm. But it's not on there now. Median's not on there now. That's right. Why we gave you the formula until you update your computer program.
Okay, those are just power velocities then, right? 57.20.
The three clusters that we have. Which are high, medium, and low. Those are become pars. That becomes the range of par. The most important thing to stress is that these do not correlate. You don't put this one up here high, you put the one that corresponds to ICO.
But you'll get the median by using the variance program.
Right.
Okay, now I've got things as one. Is the variance program in there that I can not get with, that compilation?
Not with percent median, but everything else.
You have a variance program on def V.
Right. Okay, now, if I would use the variance program, how could I get that?
Median?
Yeah.
Well, we gave you the formula to do it by hand. And Dick gave a little announcement, which he'll do again.
The answer is you can't.
Right.
You have to do it by hand now. This is something new. We hadn't thought of it when we wrote synergism. So this is a new improvement. It's not a dramatic breakthrough, just a real improvement. And wherever you use percent early before, you now simply cross off the E and put M.
We've actually fixed it up on the form. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you'll use it exactly as you did percent early, but you do it better. And if you don't have percent median yet, don't tear your hair and bewail and gnash your teeth. You didn't have it last week and you were perfectly happy. Percent early is still a dramatically powerful tool. This is just a little better, maybe a third better.
But in order to get this, you have to do it manually.
Or change your computer program. Unfortunately, those of you with synergism will not be able to change it.
I'm confused. Is this high-low on your other? Is this the variance of that program or the variance program?
It will be on the synergism too.
It already is.
This the reading.
You never get the damn thing.
Well, you don't get this. This is what we just talked about.
Well, not the medium, the other one. That I got.
This you got.
That's the variance.
This computer with you? Huh?
No, I have the clock.
Absolutely, it is on the Apple. You look at your Hello program, when it comes up, you'll find one of those letters, you'll get the variant.
That's the variant fee.
And on that program, you have one of them says variant, one of them says energy. Use the one that says energy.
No, not on the Apple, it doesn't say energy.
You don't have energy, just have the variant?
Just the variant. I have exactly what's on the...
I have two readings on mine.
You have percent early, and you have variant. Variant would not be changed. Variant's going to stay the same. Percent early is going to become percent median. When and if you get around to making a change.
Are those programs available now? We have page 3.
Okay, phase 3, I just finished last night for the 1262, and the 1360 should be ready soon. Look in this follow-up, it'll be out in the next week or so. And the formula to make the changes yourself will be right there, or if you want another tape, we'll work something out.
We'll be available. And synergism 2, it's automatic.
Now, referring back to the formula that you gave us earlier, could you do an example that shows like that you gave for
us? Sure. You'll do an example. I had it on the board. You didn't write it. Together, I think you're going to get 170.19. Add these two together, divide by, I think it comes to 117 something, divided by 170.19.
It comes out to 6898.
6898, says it's the answer. See if you get that.
6898?
Yeah.
Do it just once, and you'll find it so easy to do, you may not even need a computer. Having grown up with a handheld calculator, I always find it. You can take a handheld calculator anywhere, nobody will steal it.
Like
What, are you using synergism?
Yes.
Okay, and synergism, don't take the fractions you see there, do it with my hand. Those fractions are adjusted, and you can take them and use them. But make sure that you don't get confused. You'll get a much higher parameter than everybody else will if you're using adjusted. This should be taken from raw figures. Synergism 2 will be a different ballgame, but it'll be in there.
The raw is better to work with, right?
Oh, yeah. My feeling is that after you hear Bob Purdy's presentation, most of you are going to want synergism 2. I tell you, it's absolutely the ultimate velocity program, and it is the last velocity program. You can fly anyone, anywhere, at any time, using just velocity. You come up with anything that's even remotely close to synergism 2, because synergism 2 is on the threshold of energy, and it has two readings which are distinctly energy, and it makes its adjustment from energy and not from velocity. As far as we dreamed of going, if I'd known I was going to live this long, it was. But as long as I live, I got to keep trying to improve it. Sir?
I spoke with your man in Oklahoma the other day. I had to thank him, but I'm up to 80% now. And,
even with that jockey prejudice, hey, that's.
Oh, yeah, well.
It proves that you can still have prejudices and win.
Well, really, I only have prejudice against how much I can collect in a day. But, you know, for a while, for a few days, we were hitting just 90% on the double. Of course, sometimes we got to use four horses. But we, you say your maiden things, your maiden, the X and O's, and yeah, that works, that's easy. You're crazy if you don't play those maiden races with it. The form horses, the inform horses, they're popping right out. They're falling off the page.
But we'll work with their first-time starters. You always risk.
But a lot of first-time starters, you got to say, hey, you know, but just go.
Oh, I realize that. Jimmy and I would have made it. Yeah, I was just back there when you were talking. Yeah,
just go. Were you there?
Yeah,
there. It was 2 days ago.
I just got home 2 days ago.
That's it. That was it. I caught them a couple days ago. Couldn't believe it. We hit that $70 horse in New York. We beat the 2-5 shot out. Who happened to get out of the gate ahead of him the last time out? I said, geez, two horses, they both had all these pluses over there. Nobody else had a plus in the race. But of course, a $70 horse got a good weight shift in the post position change. Of course, he ran away with the race. And I couldn't believe he's going from 10 to 1 morning, where he's 35 to 1. I said, oh.
You know why? That's, you know why? You live in New York?
No, we're here in Vegas. I live in Vegas.
Oh, okay. You're playing
every day.
Playing bet New York, and when you see a horse go from 5-1 to 2-5, 4-5, that's a Rogozin horse. When a Rogozin horse is not one of our horses, it makes our horse, especially if it's a sustained pace horse, go up to 30-1. You've got a Sartan horse that went up in odds because it was not a Rogozin horse. Now, when our horses are Rogozin horses, don't fight it, because he's not very good, not bad at all for speed handling. And if he tries, they write about him in the New Yorker and Time magazine, everything, as being a millionaire. So he must be better than I am, because I'm not a millionaire. That's why. Maybe I will be after Las Vegas seminar.
Yeah. Doc, could I just put this in bed one time? I've got a little 5,500 sharp, has a liturgy program. I think it's a phase 3. It says 3 things. First, it gives me something called variance. Secondly, it says something energy. Thirdly, it says percent early. No, evidently, I was told at one time that the variant was a form of energy too. Also. And I was using a variant.
The variant is your phase 3 variant. The same one you get with phase 3. The energy, because I didn't know what people were using when I programmed that. The energy is the ultrascan energy. They are used exactly in the same way. One is an ultrascan number, one is an energy number. One is an ultrascan number, one is a phase 3 number. And there's no real difference in their use. It's just one is for one program, one is for another.
Just so since I was playing phase 3, I was right and sticking with a variant.
You would use the variant, correct. That would probably be
the matter which one you use, as long as you didn't interchange them.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. The relationship is the same. The variant came about because Tom Brewer liked the formula better for making his variant, that's all.
And when we changed this percent medium program.
Somebody mentioned it one day, it opened a can of worms.
Yeah. Percent early, it'll say percent medium.
Yeah, easy.
Well, if you
get the variant, it'll be open the same percent.
Sure. Be delighted to. Well, you got an IBM?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anybody with a matchup on IBM has got a superior program to the other. Mainly because the IBM people had to wait poo-pooed once because somebody with a narcotics problem was supposed to have programmed it for us and didn't. He farmed it out to somebody who had even a worse problem than he did. Then we farmed it out to Dick Schmidt, who's got an even worse problem than he did. And finally, Jimmy Bradshaw did it, and he did it right. I mean, he made a hell of a program for the IBM. One of these days, we'll make that less good and make them all uniform. Announcement. Ed Hocker, you all know who he is. Reno, our computer expert, he doesn't have a narcotics problem. He's with us now at his office in there. Set up phone hours where he will take any questions you have to ask about your computer program performance to the degree that he's allowed to give them out. And he will standardize all of our programs, ultimately. So that regardless of what you've got, you won't have a better one on the IBM or a worse one on the Apple. But IBM was kind of shuffled off because Purdy did the IBM program. Purdy's got an attitude that if I can do it, anybody can do it. So don't need all those damn frills. Everybody should get. Shut up. And nobody ever argued with him. But then he picks up a real good phase three on the IBM, which is as good as any of them.
Is the IBM, are they going to have a Citizen due for the IBM?
No, sir.
Well, I'm going to change over to IBM.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I hope you have another reason for doing it besides anything.
No. I do, yeah.
Oh, good. Yes. Anybody who buys an IBM or an Apple for handicapping is bombing anthills with atoms. And it's unfair to the ants and to you.
I'll buy it for that eBay.
Good. The Commodore 64 and the Cocoa are the ideal tools if you want a desktop. The Cocoa is $69 and the IBM's down to $198 or something. I mean,
Commodore.
The Commodore.
$168.
And believe me, Ed Hocker's got things on the Commodore, the graphs, things that you won't believe. Print out everything, you can't lose the race. You win. But unfortunately, waiting for the printout, the race probably passes. I mean, go as fast as it can, but you can give your printouts to the ceiling if you really want to analyze the race.
You're right.
So use this. Get this in Xerox a bunch of it. And use it. Now, Bob's going to get up here and tell you, and I'm going to tell you, quite honestly, we don't use it. That brings up a subject that I want to get in everybody's mind firmly planted. A man went to great lengths to criticize us for this yesterday, almost to violent lengths. That how can you teach a method when the people, all the teachers, have a different interpretation of what to do about it? My answer is that these guys are independent thinkers, all of them upper echelons of both economic society and the intellectual society. And if you try, and they're for the most part volunteer workers, I mean, they get some money, but the work they do so far exceeds the money they get that it's like a pittance. The only one who ever courageously admits that is Dick Schmidt.
Small pittance.
Relative to my income, it's very high. They all make more than I do. They will say, but most of them will say, now, don't do as I do, but they'll frankly tell you, I don't use that, or I don't do that. I don't mind telling you, I don't do that. I did everything that I recommend I did for years. Well, if you hear Tom Brunheimer say that in my style of play, I don't use it, that's because he already can eyeball the situation and determine the horses that would qualify as the higher earners. If you can do that, forget the APB. But if you're losing races because you left out a high APB horse, you better not want to follow that style. Dick Schmidt will say, I use the internal fractions difference. I just make up the first fraction, and Bob will create a program that does it precisely as prescribed in the method. Jimmy Bradshaw is very fond of, not when he's not doing dial hat, very good when he's doing dial hat. He sticks strictly to the party line. I was there for 2 weeks with him. And he's very good about that. But he will say, gee, I don't use no damn variance. I don't know the park times, and I don't want to do this. I don't track profile. My track profile is right here. He says, sure, I played two races, one at Aqueduct, one at Finger Lake. But he really does, when he's serious about winning, he's pretty well conforming. Everybody likes to tell how they're different. That's human nature. So some son of a gun tells me that I've got to make these guys toe the line. And I spend 5 minutes with Bob Purdy, try to control it. Try to work up a little thing with Bob. Now, Bob, you go out and say this. You look at you and you go out and say exactly the opposite, just because you told me. So you don't control these people. But they will all tell you, quite honestly, that they learned by doing it precisely the way it's prescribed. And then they got so good, they could make their own deviation. When you get good, you can deviate as much as you want. But when you get good, I will fulfill my responsibility to you. You're winning, making your income from this. And you will be adding and enhancing by the shortcut you take. But until you are up there, don't take the shortcut. Keep a track profile. I would do better, believe me. Not so much in number. You know, the new